You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. And I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I hope you're having a great night. And thank you so much for joining us and for downloading or subscribing to this wonderful podcast. A special thanks again to Revolver Podcast, who are making this all possible. But there's more good news, ladies and gentlemen, and that is that I don't need to do this all by myself tonight. I am joined by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard. Welcome, brother.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How's everything in your world?
Well, it's going good and getting better.
Well, how can you argue with that?
not really.
Did you win something since I saw you last?
Yeah, I want a nap.
You want a nap. Well, that'll always help. Those are always beneficial. But ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to do a show about some recent claims of UFO activity. And we're going to go through a bunch of those and, discuss them, talk about them, and hopefully you guys will find this very interesting. I know I do because I think that we are moving ever closer to, and it's been the dangling stake for a long time, but the whole idea of disclosure. I think we're getting closer. What are you thinking, Don?
I think we are. I was talking with someone today, and, they believe that, the last 25 years and all of the shows that have come out, from Art Bell all the way to Ancient Aliens and everybody who's doing things online right now, he believes that disclosure is closer than ever. But it's still going to take some time is what I'm understanding from my talks and things. So, it's an interesting thing, because we've always known. Well, some of us have always known, and some of us has always believed that, we're not alone. And, Roswell was a big awakening or a reawakening possibly. And things have been moving along since then. So a lot of information that I have to really scrub up on, but I do believe that, there might be some disclosure sometime.
So I got a question for you. Do you think that all of these different shows and medias and stuff are all part of some grand orchestration, or do you think that it's just emerging consciousness that's making people put these shows out because of,
that's an interesting question because I don't think I think it is orchestrated. Absolutely. But then also there's the orchestrated disinformation as well. So you've got the people who have claims to have interacted with aliens or things like this. Then you have the people that, are just blowing smoke and tearing down the movement, you know, the disinformation, or, you know, they're hopping on the gravy train and trying to make a name for themselves, you know? So there's, you know, there's legitimate, information. And then of course you've got the people who want to just make a name for themselves. So it's not necessarily disinformation. It's just
bad information.
It's just, it's yeah. It's narcissist is what it is.
There's a lot of people that are doing that too in the communities right now. And in any pursuit of the paranormal, and I guess for any pursuit anywhere, really.
True enough.
But I mean, you got those ghost hunters. Some of them are just all about, you know, FaceTime and camera time and, right. you know, posing and doing all that. And there are certainly many of them in the Bigfoot community, lots of people that are vying for power and control of the narrative. They want to be the authoritative voice in Bigfoot research. And, of course, in the UFO communities.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of people that are absolutely full of ridiculous nonsense.
Right.
And there are those people that are, you know, just doing it the best they can.
You know, and it really sucks because you really can't tell, you know. One of the biggest things from my talk today, I visited with a guy named Ted Lohman today. And he's been active in the UFO community for a couple decades now. And one of the biggest things he said was, I am here to give you the information that I have. It is your job, your responsibility to either believe or not believe. If you choose to believe, go find out, go do more research, make it yours. You know, don't just take my word for it. You know, do the research. He also said though, that if you don't believe, it's as simple as changing the channel. There's no sense in you sitting and listening to something that you just don't agree with.
Right.
It's a waste of your time. Honestly, you know, it's a waste of your time and you're not going to believe it anyhow. You know, and we've had, you know, encounters with trolls lately and, you know, that's just, that's, those are exactly the people that just need to change channel. It's just that simple.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, it's just, I'm here to push out information. You do with it what you will. You don't have to believe me. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to, you know, you just don't.
Right.
But that's what we're here for.
Well, it's what we try to do anyway. And, you know, the whole scope of the portal, ladies and gentlemen, is to have a conversation. I mean, this is just a forum for conversation. It's not us advocating one viewpoint over another or anything. Right. But I do, you know, having shared with all of y'all that, you know, I have actually witnessed, you know, a UFO in person pretty up close and pretty amazingly. I have no doubt that they're out there. But, my mission is not to convince you guys that they're out there. It is what it is. Either you're into the information and you're tuning in because you want to have the discussion or be a part of the dialogue or just listen to the dialogue, or you're just got way too much time on your hands and you need to get a hobby. If you're trolling things that you have no time for and don't believe in, then you need something in your life. Maybe some Jesus or something. I don't know what you need, but you need something more. Because you know, all these socially challenged people just showing up and this is all a bunch of crap. It's like, really, thanks for your opinion. Now move along.
Nothing to see here.
So tonight we're going to go through some UFO encounter stories. People have seen things, and most of these are coming from MUFON. So you know, I do respect MUFON. I don't know that they have all the answers. I don't know that they have all the right approaches, but I know that they do everything within their power to be an incredibly professional and to represent the material as credibly as they can. And I think they do a good job. Are they flawless? No. But I think they try real hard, and there's a lot of people that give a lot of their time and energy to keep that site going and to keep that information coming and to catalog that. So we're going to be covering some of the things that people have reported. And I hope you guys enjoy this. I know I do. I really love these kind of things because, you know, nothing speaks louder than witness testimony.
Right.
And, you know.
Oh.
What? Ooh.
Sorry. You said MUFON. So then all of a sudden my brain went, well, New Force. New Force is also a reporting agency.
Oh, okay. I'm not as familiar with them.
And then. Well, they're local, actually.
Oh, very good.
But a few reports that drew our attention this week, and this is as of April 12th of this year, Lake Ponderay, Idaho, September 15th. It just popped right out. But this is a report from 2017. I don't mean to get you off, but go ahead with your MUFON, and I'll read the New Force stuff.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, by local, if you're not already familiar with it, the right. Paranormal Portal is basically coming to you from the very north tip of Idaho. So we're way up here, right next to Canada, and it's just beautiful, pristine wilderness up here and an amazing place. But that's what he means by local. But yes. The first one I want to talk to you guys about was coming out of Indiana. And it says UFO described as lights in a V formation. All right, so let me just read the meat of this for you guys. And it says, an Indiana witness at Attica.
Attica, yeah.
Okay, Attica reported watching a V-shaped light pattern crossing the sky, according to testimony in case 90816 from the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, witness reporting database. The witness was outside on a friend's roof taking measurements at 9:48 p.m. on March 16th, 2018, so just last year, and was looking up, counting the number of siding strips up the side of the house when he noticed four lights in a V formation. The witness stated, even though five lights would make it a symmetrical, I only observed four, two on the left wing, one on the right, and one at the point. Now that's interesting, because I'm pretty sure we had someone talk about that as a call-in to the show at some point, that they saw what looked like a check mark.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right. Who were we talking to?
I don't know, but I'm just remembering that now. It's like, yeah, a check mark. So, you know, and the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, is what we don't know about this, and it says it was dark and there was a haze of cloud cover. The lights were very bright, but they were definitely illuminated, and it was flying north to northeast, then took a significant turn to the southeast, and these four lights didn't seem like they were part of one object, but looked like they did their own thing, but still flew in formation. So I guess we do know. What I was going to say is we don't know if it was on one craft or if it was actually four separate craft. Mm-hmm. But I guess according to this witness testimony, we do know, according to what he witnessed or what he's sharing, that the lights didn't seem to fly statically. They did maintain this formation, but there were transitions where they kind of did their own thing. So they appear to be autonomous of each other from this description. But yeah, I wish we could remember, Don, because that's interesting. This is definitely a reinforcing sighting,
right,
of that same type of craft. And, you know, of course, we've all heard about the V-shaped craft.
Right.
And some people say the TR-3Bs,
right,
which are a man-made UFO that are witnessed. They look like a triangular, a black triangle kind of craft. And we've certainly, everybody in the UFO field or interest has heard of the Phoenix Lights. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference with that, of course, is the sheer scale of it, because the Phoenix Lights were apparently miles wide, and it appeared to be one craft. From what I understand of the witness testimonies out of that, there was like six or seven white lights on the bottom of it, but from tip to tip of this thing was several miles, or at least a mile. I don't remember. Now, I might be exaggerating it, because, you know, that's just what I do sometimes. But, you know, I mean, I'm just joking at first. I try to keep it as factually as I can, but I do know that witnesses were in this valley and saw this big craft go over. And it seemed like each wingtip was on a different side of the valley, which was more than 1 mile wide. And so that's a huge spread for it to be a singular craft. And they did say that what they did witness was the light in the night sky getting blacked out in sync with the formation of these lights. So even in between the lights, the stars would disappear and then reappear after it went over. So they could get an idea of what it was, even though it was dark, because of the lights it was blocking out from the night sky.
Right. Sometimes it's not what you see, it's what you don't see that you know you should.
Right, exactly.
That gives you the aspect of where it is.
That's what fills in the blanks, for sure. So, yeah, but I'm bummed, right? I guess so. But I think that's a great sighting, and I'm really interested in that, Don, because it does, again, reinforce a claim somebody had made calling into the show.
Dang.
But I don't remember who it was either.
It was Aussie Fam.
It was.
It was Aussie Fam, yeah.
That's right. That's right. So it's a YouTube listener that we have on the, that participates in the show, and he was the one that was talking about it. You're right.
Aussie Tiger. Yeah, Aussie Tiger Fam, yeah.
Yep. So he's a chatter on YouTube and on the live feeds, which, ladies and gentlemen, also happen 7 days a week. It's 7 p.m. Pacific time. So if you want to see the you know, Don and I doing this in person live, definitely check out our YouTube feed.
I don't know why people do it, but they do.
I don't know. Maybe we're more funny and when you can watch us do.
You know, the rest of this, it does say in the story, though, that this sighting lasted 5 to 10 seconds, and I don't know what to make of it. And just my observation is what it says.
Right.
So, of course, you know, yeah, you're only going to be able to tell what you can. But I always have that question about 5 to 10 seconds. You know, it's a good long time. It's a lot longer than most people imagine. You know, 10 seconds actually,
right,
when you're paying attention, takes forever.
Right, especially when you're acutely aware of what's going on during those 10 seconds.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, yeah, if you're focused on it for 5 or 10 seconds, yeah, I could see, you know, you following it, you tracking it, you know, that kind of thing. But it always creates an issue with me because of what we can't see.
Yeah.
You know, the infrared spectrums or the low blues, whatever that may be, you know, so it's because your eyes can be tricked easily, and starlight will trick your eyes, you know, because you'll look up and you'll think you see a star up there, but it's not there. But if you look away, there's something there, you know, it's so it's like, it's one of those, it's just, you know, perception. It's your visual perception that may or may not be on, or, you know, I mean, I can't see nothing. I should be wearing glasses, but I don't, you know. So, you know, it always, those short ones with lots and lots of action that people perceive really make me wonder what they really perceived and what was filled in, or what their flight of fancy, just to use a term, you know, what they want to see.
Sure.
So, you know what I mean?
Is it just a suggestion? So let me ask you this. Since we're talking about people seeing things, what did you see the other night?
I see a lot of things.
Oh, come on. What did you see? What did you call into the show about?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I left the studio and I was literally just standing beside my pickup, and I was just looking up, you know, taking a breather. And, you know, and I swear I saw what a light that was moving north. Now, I'm no good at judging distance. It was way up there. I thought it was a star at first. Then I thought it was a plane, because I also believe that, and I watched it for a good long time, like 10 minutes. I literally was like, "Hey, Brent," you know, but you know, you were busy doing other things.
Yeah.
But I watched it, and it was a blinking red light, and I don't remember it being a green light, but I think there was a white light. So it was a red and white light, and the red light looked like it was oscillating around. So, you know, you would see it, and it would oscillate around like the backside, and then it would come back around. So it was flying north, and then it banked. It banked east, so north, northeast, east, and started coming towards, you know, where I was out here in front of the studio, and then it just stopped. And it's like, wait a minute, I know I just saw that fly.
That is no longer a plane.
It's not a plane. It's not Superman either. And then I was changing my perspective to see if I could, you know, get a different view on it, and it all seemed the same to me. But as I moved, I was able to look between a couple of the buildings, and lower in the sky, I saw the same darn thing. You know, it was like there was one up higher and one down lower in the horizon.
Sure.
I don't think it was a plane.
Right.
I just don't think it was a plane, because a plane doesn't just stop, and it, you know, yes, they bank and, you know, that kind of thing, but they also have red green lights, white lights.
And they blink.
Oscillate. They blink.
Right.
You know, so it was just kind of odd. It was odd.
Yeah, it is odd, and we're not making the direct conclusion that it's for sure extraterrestrial or alien. But
certainly unidentifiable.
It's definitely it's identifiable. So in the truest sense of the word, again, it's a UFO.
Right.
What does it mean? We don't know. But I wish I had witnessed it. Don, like you said, made several attempts to call me from inside the studio, and I was already busy
doing other things.
Doing other things, yeah. And was all tied up. I didn't even have my phone with me, so I couldn't have responded. But it was probably an hour or so later, I looked at my phone and was like, oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
Why do I have 5 missed calls from Don? And then the voicemail is like, oh, my God, Brent, come outside. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry I missed it.
Bring your binos.
Yeah, I got these infrared binos, if you're familiar with my story. But what a great experience that you had. And, yeah. And at the very least, you know it's not mundane.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So whatever it was, even if it was... maybe not as fantastical as we think right. It probably was. It's still a neat experience. And again, we're not drawing any conclusions, but my other point with that is that you didn't really have any suppositions or expectations when you went out there.
No.
You were just getting in your car.
Yeah. I was just thinking about what I was going to be doing for the next 15 minutes driving home.
Right. So, so it was like, it was just a matter of course of just you doing your routine and right. Boom, something was there. Something happened and, you know, it was a great thing for you. And I'm thrilled that you had the experience because I've wanted you to have some kind of experience because I know, you know, you and I have talked about this a ton of times.
Right.
You've been into researching the UFOs for much longer than I've ever known you. This is just something you're very interested in
right. And
have been for years. And then for you to have finally a visual experience that at least you can't readily explain.
Yeah, I can't exactly just right. Go, well, you know, I know it was a plane because of this, that, or the other thing,
right. Like
the red, green, you know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, the real thing that stopped me was like, it stopped in midair.
Yeah.
I just stopped. And honestly, you know, I couldn't tell you if I was looking at a quasar, you know, putting off red light, you know, but watching it move like it did is the thing that pretty much yeah. Cemented that's not a stationary object
stationary celestial object yeah. At all. It was moving around intelligently. What is it? I don't know. I wish I would have seen it, but again, I didn't respond, but I'm glad you
did.
That's
okay. You know, it's that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing the show.
But you know, I mean, the other part of it is that I would have loved to have seen it just to reinforce that there was a witness to what you witnessed.
Right. True. Yeah.
You know, and the same thing I wish that had happened during what I saw.
Right.
That I could have handled those binoculars.
I would have loved it.
I'm telling you, it was the most unreal experience. One of the most unreal experiences of my life. I'm thrilled that I had it because I'd been looking for so long. So, but yeah, I mean, these things just pop up when they pop
up. Apparently so. Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. It doesn't, you know, because you were indicating before, is it because of a expectation of a,
right.
You know, well, in that instance, you were expecting nothing. Hell, in my instance, I was expecting nothing except to look at the night sky
right. In
infrared because I wanted to see how many more stars there were.
Right.
And I, what I saw just about, you know, I mean, it was an underwear scraper. It really was. It was just like, I had no idea that was going to happen. So you just never know, ladies and gentlemen, there are no ordinary moments. It's at any moment, weird things can happen. And that's the cool part, I guess. Now I got another one here, Don.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another triangle kind of thing. And so this one could potentially be a TR-3B, which is, and if you're not familiar with that, ladies and gentlemen, there's the belief that, you know, we have backwards engineered actual UFOs, such as what crashed at Roswell and allegedly many others,
mm-hmm. And
have been reverse engineered and have given rise to advanced technologies that are not mainstream or even in the consciousness of most people in the public. So they're the secret space program or the black projects or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
But people see these black UFO triangles in the sky, and the belief is that they are a project called TR-3B, and they are a reverse engineered but very terrestrial craft. It's just in a, you know, secret program that people don't know about. So that's a little background on that if you're not already familiar with it. But what's going on here is it's coming from Georgia. And this is MUFON case 90959. And the person was returning home after a trip to McDonald's.
Hmm.
So, you know, clearly they were getting a good helping of some health food.
Yeah. They probably screwed up their whole day.
Yeah, well, it's going to screw up a lot more than their day if they keep eating like that. But anyway, he said, I noticed on my left what first looked like an airplane flying low, the witness stated. I almost thought it was an enormous drone, but then it was way too big. And once I got closer, I could see in more detail that it was flying too slow to be a plane, and I saw its triangular shape. Mm-hmm. It had a red light on one of the side, and then a blue on the other, and then a flashing one at the possible tip, and also had a sound. It does say had a sound, but it had a bit of engine noise, like a big engine. Amazed by the interesting sighting, I stopped dead in the middle of the road, looked at it for a few more seconds, and then pulled into a nearby parking lot to see it outside of the car. Unfortunately, when I got out, it was already leaving. I can't explain exactly how it left, because there are no human words for it, but I can try. When it left, it looked like it was moving at the same speed as before it stopped, and when I got a chance to see it, but in a matter of seconds, with it going that same slow speed, it was already miles away. I searched for it afterwards, but couldn't find it. I do remember hearing strange noises in the car engine, but that could have been paranoia.
Mm.
Other cars drove past, but no one else seems to have noticed.
Hmm.
So very interesting.
As for the matter of it moving away at the same speed, but miles away,
yeah,
that's just a matter of perspective, actually, because if you're looking at something and it's going in basically the same direction that you're looking, you're not going to perceive the speed necessarily. You're just going to perceive the distance.
That's possible.
So
I understand what you're saying. Right. I don't know how level it was to his view.
Right, right.
Or if it was an elevated, or it was much more elevated or not. I don't know. It's not really clear how far it was off the ground from this narrative, but you're right. I mean, if it was on the same or a close plane to where he was viewing,
right.
Then it would seem to just, you know, be almost stationary, but shrinking and suddenly be miles away. So there is that. That's a good point.
You know, and another thing is they said that it had a bit of an engine noise, like a big engine.
Yeah.
Now, even with the TR-3Bs, the Black Mantas, there is reports that there's no noise.
Hmm.
So like a sound dampening field or something, or maybe they're just noiseless engines on them. Who knows?
Yeah.
So this one's a little different in that sense. Now, who's to say that, you know, it was properly baffled or whatnot, or who's even to say that, you know, it wasn't an alien race that hadn't figured out that technology yet?
It's possible.
But that baffles me.
It does.
But the engine noise does seem a bit off in this story, but you know, maybe it's not necessarily the engine noise. Maybe it's the noise as it cuts through the air.
Yeah. You know,
so more of a droning or
sure.
something like that. But apparently even the Navy has something that'll take care of that. So just
go.
A few things I caught as you were reading. Oh, I do like the statement. I do remember hearing strange noises in the car engine. But that could have been paranoia, because there's lots of alien abduction stories mm-hmm. where a car started making these really weird noises.
Right.
You know, so who knows?
And it could possibly just be the fact that whoever's viewing this was perhaps experiencing some form of heightened electromagnetic field the presence of that.
Yeah.
And maybe that would have a physiological effect on the hearing. I don't know.
Oh, you know, good point.
Yeah,
good point.
I don't know. Again, we don't know how close or how far it was, and with other cars driving by, nobody else seemed to notice. But if you're living in any area that has McDonald's,
nobody's going to notice it.
All they're seeing is the arches, baby. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break here real quick, and we will be back for another wonderful segment of the show featuring more witness testimonies of flying saucers and other alien seemingly craft.
Seemingly
alien craft maybe would be better. So don't go away, everybody. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and tonight Don and I are going through some witness testimonies regarding what may very well be UFO. Well, they are UFOs, but they may very well be alien. Mm. It's hard to know for sure, again, but these are what we're discussing tonight. We're having a great discussion, bouncing ideas back and forth, as well as reviewing the witness testimonies themselves. I think these things are really exciting, Don. I really do, because where I've always had the biggest interest in the paranormal has come from actual witness testimony, much, much more so than ever reading some, you know, hypothesis, right, or somebody's ideas regarding a phenomena. I learned so much better and more, mm-hmm, from what people are actually witnessing.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier, asking the questions about, is that shoe blue or brown or whatever, you know? And yeah, so, you know, I see it one way, you see it a different way, which they're saying points to me being left brained and you being right brained,
or vice versa,
yeah, whatever that may be, depending, mm-hmm, on, but it, what my point is that it opens up your creativeness. It opens up that wonder in that creative section of the brain going, wow, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, and I can see you being drawn to it. Now I'm drawn to it because I think it's just interesting. I just love listening to it. But it, for you, it creates these visions. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it creates this vision, and it creates the wonder behind it.
Yes, so, absolutely. It does. And, you know, I don't pretend that everything I've heard is factual.
Oh God, no, don't do that.
You know, I mean, clearly you can't. And unfortunately there's a lot of people that, if you say paranormal, they'll say, I believe, before you even tell them what, right, you believe,
right,
you know, because they want it to be real. And I understand that. I love the paranormal about as much as anybody can, but I can't help the fact that I'm still rooted in a very logical place in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I have trouble with a lot of claims,
right,
but I still keep an open mind. What I've learned, I guess, the most is that you have to keep an open mind,
right,
in order to embrace the paranormal, because once you start saying what is or isn't possible, you're already killing the phenomena.
Right.
You know,
you're judging the report before you even see it.
Right.
Know, in this case here, you know.
Exactly. So, but what we're doing is we're going through these different reports and we're having a little bit of dialogue about them. So, did you want to read one of those?
Oh, I certainly can. Yeah. I can certainly read this one from New Force about Lake Pondere.
Please do. That'd, yeah, be interesting, absolutely, since that's right outside the door.
Right, much, exactly. You know, yeah, just a couple blocks down the road, jump in.
Yep.
So this is, this supposedly occurred in September-ish. It said fall. They can't remember exactly, of 2017, so a little over 2 years ago. It says, UFO passes directly overhead at high speed in response to our flashlights, we think. My husband and I had not been able to find a report from anyone else that that is similar to what we experienced. I'm posting this in hopes that someone will come forward. I don't have the exact date, but it was fall of 2017. We were driving home from Montana in the wee hours of the morning, 2 a.m., and we're in the north bank of the Lake Pondere between Sandpoint and Trestle Creek. There's Trestle Creek again. We just, wow, talked about it.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, that's the area where you had your sighting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Trestle,
yeah,
Creek, right, up that
off
way?
Off Trout Road. Yeah. Trout Creek Road, yeah.
Closer to the latter, so closer to Trestle Creek. That's a beautiful drive, by the way.
It is, yeah.
We enjoy rock hounding, and there's supposedly a popular site just off the highway through there. And even though it was 2 a.m., we decided to try and find the spot. We hounded and navigated with our flashlights many times, and we were armed, which is a good idea because we have wildlife.
Yeah.
We find what we thought was the correct pull-off. We get our gear out together and start hiking despite the heavy rain. Foolish, yes, but that's beside the point. The country is very steep and lots of rocks, rock ledges and outcroppings, and pretty thick with vegetation, so we were going slow and careful. We had to have been hiking for about 15 minutes and had a view of the lake and our truck in the turnoff below us when we see an officer pull in and light up our vehicle. We had been keeping our lights aimed low and pointed away from the road and the lake so not to alarm people down below. Anyway, the officer... Has this got anything to do with it? Curiously, he never lights up or seems to search the other side of the road, only the side we're on. My husband and I are reluctant to come down considering the effort required to get as far as we had, but we had been discussing the officer, apparently satisfied we weren't in the area. We turn our flashlights briefly to shine them down towards the empty highway and lake and look at the train we had scrambled up. Now, this part happened so fast. Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. Now, this part happened so fast, a couple seconds at most, and probably less than even 1 second. Well, that it is only from discussion and writing down the events of a few days later that I'm able to provide as many details as I am now. We switched our lights to red mode, less visible at more or less the same time, and haven't even finished turned back towards the mountain when we hear a projectile of some sort come from all the way across the lake, just pass over and between our heads, then up the side of the mountain and gone. This projectile was moving much faster than we thought possible. We were both experienced firearm users, and this was not a bullet. It was larger, faster, and there was no sound of a weapon being fired at all. Nor was there an echo of any sort, which given the location, there should have been, because they were on the side of the hill. Mm-hmm. Even our voices echoed. The only sound we heard was the air around it moving as the object came across the lake and over the mountain. It was as loud as if you would hear a hard flung ball or rock barely missing your head as it went by, but a different pitch. There was no light. Additionally, had it been anything man-made or nature caused coming at us like that, there's no way it wouldn't have smacked into the cliff directly behind us or into any of the trees or rocks above us. It was only a couple feet above our heads, and the terrain was very steep and very thick in addition to its speed. It's just not possible. We actually sensed its maneuver with intent through the canyon and then the trees as it went. My husband actually dropped to the ground in self-preservation while I trying to process what it could have been, but knowing it wasn't anything that I had experienced with, stood there in shock. His flashlight had turned off completely and mine changed to strobe mode, which I had trouble turning off. We crouched there a couple minutes, not saying anything except what the hell, just before deciding to abandon ship, pun intended, to get off the mountain. We knew we had to turn our lights back on in order to safely be, despite our fear, had to turn our lights on in order to do safely. Oh, as in get the hell out.
Right.
Being him, he all of a sudden says, screw it, turns his light on to the brightest setting it has, and starts heading down with purpose and in a quick fashion. I followed using my light sparingly, but not in red mode. We make it down in one piece and get on our way. When we got in the truck, we checked the time and got mad chills. It was still only 2 a.m., give or take a few minutes. 2 days later, we decided to write everything down that we could, plausible or not, and compare. There was no discrepancies. In fact, the similarities on some things are eerie, such as we both felt rather than saw the mass of the object was about the size of a basketball, but much more streamlined. It had energy within it, for lack of better words. It had intelligence. We both felt that it could have taken our heads off if that's what its intent was, but had instead given us a warning that there are other things, but you get the gist.
Mm-hmm.
The phones we had, the time began to malfunction and glitch out and replace soon. Gosh, I love the way people write sometimes. The phone we had at the time began to malfunction and glitch out and had to be replaced soon after the flashlight we carried that night. Same as the flashlight. So there you go. They're Christians. They're not into UFOs, the paranormal, supernatural. We hesitate to put a label on it, but that's our story. So wow. There you go.
Very cool.
So a basketball size thing flew across the lake towards this mountain between their heads and intelligently navigated the terrain. And all they heard was more of a felt was the mass of it. So interesting.
That's very interesting and very weird. I don't know what to think about something about the size of a basketball. I suppose it could be some form of drone. But moving at that speed obviously is not something we've made.
Right.
But yeah, that's really bizarre. Now, that the funny thing is that is the area roughly where I saw the craft that I witnessed.
Right.
And we had heard from another person that there is a really good Bigfoot cast made from a print in that same region that we're going to hopefully get our...
Are you connecting UFOs and Sasquatch?
No, I'm not. But I'm saying this area is full of paranormal right. activity. It's just so incredibly profound, being as it's the only place I witnessed a craft like that. Now, when I went back to Minnesota after witnessing the craft out here, I did start to see more in the sky, and it's hard to explain, but so many people talk about this, and is that, like, for instance, they witness a Sasquatch, for whatever reason, after that point, a lot of witnesses will have other encounters, mm-hmm. and they may have gone decades before looking and never seeing anything, but once you've seen one thing, it's like it breaks right. a seal that makes it all possible. And so maybe it just opens up our mind to the possibility and we're able to perceive the more subtle things that have always been happening. Whereas prior to that, we might have missed so many things. But I saw a star. It was like a big shooting star, but it actually descended at a perfect 90-degree angle behind the bluff where the house we lived in was right next to. Mm-hmm. So right either on the top or the back side of that bluff, something came down from unseen distance up in, what I imagined was space, came down at a perfect 90-degree angle, traveling quickly, never decelerating or anything. No flame trail, just a blazing light coming straight down. I didn't know what it was,
right.
but I knew that it was something I'd never seen before, and it was following my witnessing a flying saucer through the infrared goggles, or binoculars.
Right.
So, for whatever reason, after you see one, I wouldn't be surprised now if you start seeing more, to be honest with you, which I really hope you do.
Right.
I really do. And of course, we're going to get out there with these infrared binoculars out near your house where there's right. absolutely no light pollution and there's not a lot of obstacles.
Right.
And we can see a huge distance. See, I live in the town area. Mm-hmm. That's where the studio is. So we have, buildings all around us, and it's hard to get a real wide view of the night sky. I can only get these little alleys of view, mm-hmm. but out where you are,
oh, yeah.
how we could see, we could see the dawn coming after the dusk.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, is that the moon? Is that the sun rising already? Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be coming in about 8 hours.
another thing is it's quiet too. There's not mm-hmm. a whole lot of traffic. Once in a while there'll be something, but that'll give for recording as well.
Yeah, exactly. Very good point. So, yeah, we're looking forward to doing that this summer at some unseen point at this point. But it will be coming. We'll definitely be doing this. So, but all those things are in the works, right. as it were. So that's a great story, though. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Well, this is an interesting one from New Force again.
Okay.
This occurred April 5th of this year.
Oh, wow.
And it was reported on the 12th and then posted, of course, on the 12th from Salinas, California. It says, entity encounter.
Ooh.
In the early morning, Friday, April 5 of 2019, approximately 1 a.m., I awakened to something in my bedroom with my husband, sound asleep. I awakened to something in my bedroom with my husband, sound asleep, and my two dogs asleep in the bathroom. This orb of bright white light had eyes and a slit that represented a mouth was approximately 18 inches from my face. It illuminated my face as it seemed to assess me while I was trying to assess it. I remember thinking, did somebody break into our house and is in the bathroom or in the bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
The door was closed and the orb did not have a body, nor did I see any hair. It appeared to have somewhat of a face and eyes were staring through me and was not a friendly gaze. I remember being frightened. However, I could not break my gaze. Then it disappeared. The encounter was a matter of seconds, approximately 10 to 20 seconds.
Wow.
Now, like I said, that's actually a long time.
Yeah, it is.
This past week, I've been trying to understand what I saw and recount the details. It's been haunting me. For a few nights, I've been afraid to go to sleep. At first, I thought it could have been a visit from a spirit. However, it wasn't a familiar sight. It wasn't until I heard on the news that there was a strange parallel lines in the sky above Los Angeles the next day on April 6th that I believe it could have been an entity encounter.
Wow.
To clarify my personality, I'm a 63-year young woman, married for 34 years, no children, but my beautiful dogs. I am of sound of mind, very grounded, and always level-headed. I don't participate in any groups or clubs. I do not participate in any groups or clubs as we live on the hilltop in Salinas, surrounded by 8 acres. I'm not disclosing that because of the company. She's not disclosing the address because her company is in the security information kind of stuff. She's lived in Carmel for, you know, decades.
Wow.
And she just wanted to share the experience as it still haunts her and remains prominent in her mind. So a glowing orb about 18 inches around illuminated her face. White light, had eyes, and a slit that represented a mouth.
Wow.
So
that's really strange. So it's just like this head ball.
Yeah.
coming in and scoping things out.
Well, you know, what about like, say, some kind of an alien drone that was given a visage so it wouldn't be so terrifying.
Doesn't sound like they spent a lot of time on the visage.
Not really.
Just a couple of a hateful gaze and a slit for a mouth.
Yeah,
no doubt. Nice job, guys. Thought you're supposed to be advanced. Should have given it like a Smurf face or something.
Yeah, no doubt. Hi, Papa Smurf. But there's the 10 or 20 seconds. You know, I find that a lot of these are under 30 second encounters. Well, yeah. Or
it's like even Bigfoot sightings are literally a few seconds and they're gone. They've molded back into the foliage and stuff. Right. But when you've got 10 to 20 seconds to just sit and gaze at something, that's a hell of a lot of time to absorb it into your memory.
Right.
So I don't discount this person's claim. It's just very unusual.
Right. And she does say that there were strange parallel lines in the sky above Los Angeles the next day.
Now, is that chemtrails? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Now, that's another thing, Don, that I find very interesting is that some people are claiming that there is, and actually one of the people claiming this is Crow777, who is on TFR.
Right.
But he's also, an adamant researcher, or not adamant, but a profound researcher into, like, he's recorded these weird lunar waves and stuff on video. Huh. And I don't know exactly what he surmises that to be, but he's actually received footage or taken footage. I don't remember which, but it looks like these little orb craft all the way up in the sky going through these chemtrails and zapping them with something.
You know, that's interesting because didn't Dee, one of our other chatters, say that she experienced orbs that were cleaning or...
Yes, yes, she has.
Cleaning chemtrails.
Yep, she has made that claim as well. So that's very interesting. And Dee, of course, is a psychic that is very involved with the show and great person. Diane Swiger is her name, but she has made that claim that the extraterrestrials are, in fact, actively working on these chemtrails that are being spread all over the skies, you know. And whether or not you're into the chemtrail stuff, I don't know. You know, I've heard all of the dialogue about it for years. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm an advocate that that's for sure what's going on, but they're spraying something in the air. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's for.
Right.
But there seems to be at least a little substantiatable evidence to the fact that they could be spraying chemical stuff in the skies.
Yeah, and if they're seeing orbs like this seems more like an orb story to me.
Well,
along the lines of
UFO orbs.
UFO orbs, yeah. The plasma orb,
right.
You know, kind of thing.
Yep.
And so it was white, so it was all good.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't red, it wasn't blue, it was white. So all is good, is just doing their stuff. And then the next day,
The parallel lines.
The parallel lines.
Yeah, I wonder what those looked like, though. If those were just looking like contrails like we expect when we look at the sky and sea lines.
Oh, you mean real contrails?
Well, no, I mean chemtrails that don't ever evaporate.
Right.
But or if it was some other lines, I don't know what the reference for that is. Hmm. You know what I mean? So they said weird. Yeah, it would be nice if they had some pictures to at least let us know what the weird parallel lines look like. But it sounds like what I would assume chemtrails would look like. In my head, that's where I went. But, you know, you have to let me know if you can find anything that explains those lines a little better, because that's weird. Very weird.
Hmm.
I think we got time for one more. And then we'll probably, that'll be about all we can do for tonight. So let's do this one. This is over Pennsylvania. This one comes out of April. Apparently it was reported April 29th of this year. And it's MUFON case 91194. And it says, the witness is sitting in a hot tub at 3:15 a.m.
Mm.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. God, I wish I had a hot tub. Oh, man, that'd be perfect right now. I sneezed earlier today, ladies and gentlemen, and threw out my back. So it's been a pretty miserable day. I could use a hot tub, but that's not really paranormal. That's just me whining. And I reserve the right to whine because I have a microphone. So it says, noticed movement above, the witness stated, V-shaped craft gliding above my head, heading west over the trees, about the size of a 737 and no more than 200 feet above the treetops. No lights. Probably wouldn't have seen it if it hadn't been for the ambient light from the large parking lot next door. It appeared dark brown, but that could be the low light level. It glided smoothly above my head at less than 200 knots, and there were regular spaced artifacts on the underside, but I couldn't say what they were. The pumps in the hot tub were off, so I can say the craft made no sound.
Mm-hmm.
Got a very clear look at it, but for only 3 seconds or so. Very interesting. And it's been classified as an unknown aerial vehicle. But they said it's boomerang-shaped.
Right.
So it's not quite a triangle, but it is the whole, you know, again, the whole checkmark or V-shape
right.
craft, which are real popular.
Well, there's a lot of stories of 737-sized boomerang-looking mm-hmm. Craft out there. So it's like just the two wings stuck yes. together with no fuselage.
Right. Yeah, so. Exactly. That's what, if you're ever going to imagine what this looks like. Yeah, exactly what Don said. Imagine the, you know, the two big wings on a 737 just glued together in the middle, and there's no tube down the middle where people would sit.
Right.
So very interesting. Very, very interesting. And then again, that shape comes up over and over and over and over. And I don't pretend to know. You know how you hear from certain people, well, there's this species of alien, and what their craft looked like is
right.
this.
Right.
You know, I don't know which one is supposed to mean which one. I'm not that adept at all of this, but, you know, the fact that these are witnessed so often, this specific shape
mm-hmm.
would seem to suggest that, you know, they're probably the most popular ones visiting us, you know, because they're all over the place.
Right.
These guys must have you know, the deciding vote on what happens here in the Galactic Council or whatever the hell they call that deal. But I think it's interesting because it's certainly the most widely reported craft. Now, I used to hear all the time in the 70s about cigar-shaped craft and
right.
about the flying saucers. And granted, some of those were hoaxes, just people throwing frisbees and stuff.
Oh.
But I saw a flying saucer. I mean, that's what I saw.
Right.
And I clearly know it wasn't a hoax. But
so I'm looking at some of the comments left.
Sure.
And one of them says chevron shape, different than typical triangle shape, not from Earth.
Okay.
Why would we spend trillions and trillions of dollars on exotic high tech experimental triangle craft only to change our minds and to make it a chevron shape?
Hmm.
And then the next person says, I concur. Looks a lot like the motherships reported and sketched by witnesses of the Phoenix Light incident.
Right.
Maybe they dropped in for another visit.
Well, maybe they never left.
That's probably more likely.
Yeah, they just probably hung out on the moon or something, and they're just sending down these smaller versions.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know,
yeah.
Or something like that, or just, you know,
Independence
anchored
Day in the making.
Right. You know, and that's as weird as that is. you know, I don't know. I don't pretend to know what all of this means, ladies and gentlemen, but I think for as many people as witnessed these things, myself included, now Don has seen something nebulous. There's something going on out there. This is not just the fabrications of creative minds. People are seeing something. Right. What does it mean? I don't know. I don't know if they're from, you know, billions of light years away or from the inside of the earth or, you know, from the dark side of the moon or what the hell the deal is. I don't pretend to know that, but I am absolutely convinced these things are absolutely legitimate and we don't understand the true nature of what's going on around us.
Right.
That's about all I can say on this for now. Anything from you, Don?
No. You know, it's just, you know, keep your eyes open, you know, be open-minded. Mm-hmm. Understand that, you know, the way you perceive things aren't necessarily the way somebody else does and give them the benefit of the doubt or at least just listen to what they have to say and consider.
Right.
You know, that's pretty much the only thing I can do, you know, because I can't tell them yes or no. It can't be this and it can't be that because I don't know. I didn't experience it.
Right.
So, but those are my closing statements.
Well, good ones at that, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to about wrap up our Paranormal Portal podcast for this evening. But if you want to stay in touch with what we're doing on the Paranormal Portal, please subscribe to Paranormal Portal Radio, which you can find on Facebook. And please subscribe to our YouTube page at youtube.com/paranormalportal. And we're on Twitter as well, and that's at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. So we're in all three of those places, and maybe we'll be in more pretty soon. I don't know.
We hope so.
We hope so, but thank you guys so much for checking out our show. Thanks so much for being a part of the Paranormal Portal family. And if you're enjoying what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast, and please share the information with people you know that enjoy the paranormal as well. We're certainly trying to grow this thing. And as it grows, it'll give us the ability to do more and more and bring you a higher quality of entertainment. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. All right, guys. Good night.
Have a good night.
Until next time.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. Thank you.
sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.